This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis over many, many, many radio stations every week at this same time. We also here have our worship hour service on Sunday morning, the Bible school, Sunday night services. You say, oh, Pastor, you still have Sunday night services? Yes, we sure do. Wednesday night services. And I asked a lady the other day something about their service, local church on Sunday night. She said, oh, we don't have church on Sunday night. We let our pastor rest. I said, rest from what? Playing golf? But this is Pastor Pendarvis. We have our services here regular. We haven't given up like many of the world had done. But the message you'll hear today is the age of paranoia. The age of paranoia. Doesn't that title even whet your appetite to hear the message? It's by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. You stay tuned. I'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
At this time, we want to see the way of Cain in the judgment the sinner brings upon himself by his impenitence. And God's wrath is his amen to man's self-will, Christ's rejection, and reprobation. We have seen that the first four seals, the first four trumpet judgments, and also the first four bowls of wrath are set off from the last three. We read those in Revelation. Because God's judgment is based on his justice and on the nature and aggravation of sin. I want you to read a few verses in Romans 1, beginning with verse 18. Listen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness or disregard of God and unrighteousness or every act of unrighteousness of men who hold with a firm grasp and have in secure possession or who seize upon and retain the truth in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness means injustice, deceitfulness, viciousness, falsehood. It means acts of injustice or injury. This is an age of religion. If it were not, it could not be an age of apostasy, which means falling away from the body of divine truth. This letter was addressed to the church at Rome, which was a Gentile church, and Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, which is the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, is the power of God unto or directed toward the salvation of everyone that believes. Why is it power in the hands of God the Holy Spirit? For in it, the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of Christ to everyone that believeth. So here we see that the righteousness of Christ is revealed, and the next verse, the wrath of God is also revealed. Now, that's through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God, but it's the power of God only in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Let's look at these two words, righteousness and wrath, because it is repent or perish. It is either metanoia, the Greek word for repentance, or paranoia, which is impenitence. My friend, there's one thing that you and I face, and that is, it is imperative that man repent. You're either under the wrath of God, or you're under the mercy of God that grants righteousness as a gift of grace. You either have a revelation of God's wrath, or a revelation of God's righteousness. There's no middle ground. There's a great misconception abroad in the religious world today about the righteousness and holiness of God, just as there's about the wrath of God, which issues in judgment. Let's look at God's Word and get our thinking straightened out. The average individual, listen now, today thinks of righteousness as a social virtue or a kind of holy Christian walk before God and before one's fellow man. That is not God's definition of righteousness. Also, the average individual thinks of the wrath of God as a raving, vindictive spirit, but wrath is a personal emotion, just as love is. It is God's hatred and abhorrence of sin, which is a condition that sets up a resistance to God's will. Let's look at holiness as set forth in God's word, as well as the word righteousness. Holiness, listen now, refers to the position or relationship existing between God and the same some person or thing consecrated to Him. I'm quoting Girdlestone. Remember that in every case, the point involved is relation or contact with God. God Himself was regarded as holy, that is, as being one from His nature, position, and attributes, is to be set apart and reverend and as distinct from all others. And Israel, including Gentile believers today, was to separate itself from the world and things of the world because God was thus separated. They were to be holy because He was holy. Now, what relationship exists between God and the sinner that makes the sinner holy? It is explained in the words for righteousness. The Greek word for righteousness means the reception and exercise of righteousness, which first means conformity to the rule of God, and therefore it is the exhibition of love to God and to one's neighbor. That's the first relationship, a love to God and to one's neighbor. It is further explained by the word, Greek word, which is merciful, kind, pitiful, favor, goodness, and loving kindness, and is united with compassion and other divine qualities. The Bible is preeminently occupied in setting forth the gracious feeling with which God regards the children of men. It depicts them not in the abstract, but as manifested in action. It also teaches that those who have tasted, get it now, listen, hold your seat. It is also teaches that those who have tasted of God's grace and love and mercy are bound to exercise the same disposition toward their fellow man. They thus become in reality children of God and are conformed to the nature of Him from whom their new life is drawn. I'm quoting again from Girdlestone. In other words, he who has received mercy shows mercy. But if you say you received mercy and you don't show mercy, you are not holy. You're not righteous. You say you received love from God, but you don't love your fellow man. You're not holy. You're unholy. I don't care what your outward life might be in society. This righteousness is received by faith, Romans 1:17. In other words, mercy is revealed to the sinner by faith. It is received by faith. And the life of faith, get it now, the life of faith is the exercise of mercy to others. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Psalms 18:25. This is an age when sinners are called children of wrath, a breaking up under the wrath of God, and the whole world is becoming paranoia. Notice the words of Ephesians 2:3. Among whom, sons of disobedience, we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Now notice, even as others. Let's read on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus, Notice we were children of wrath, but God made us alive, raised us up to sit together with Christ. From wrath to righteousness, from wrath to fellowship with Christ, from wrath to mercy. What is the difference? Repentance. Repentance means a complete change of mind. Once we withered under the wrath of God, now we bask in the righteousness of Christ, which is the mercy and love that is shed abroad in our hearts. And if that mercy and love has been shed abroad in our hearts, we will manifest that same mercy and love toward others. Now let's look at these two words, metanoia and paranoia. The last part of these two words, noia, comes from a Greek word meaning the understanding or reason or moral capacity. It also means a particular manner of thinking or feeling. People not only think, but they feel, and their thinking controls their feeling, or sometimes vice versa. And both thinking and feeling governs the will. Now, meta means with, and the two together means the faculties, including the will, or acting in fellowship or participation with God. Para means beside or amidst. It also means near or what is done secretly. In other words, thoughts, feelings, and the will are motivated from something beside, get it now, or aside from the truth center from which something, the will is motivated from something aside from the true center of man, which is God. And that individual entertains ideas, get it now, and emotions which he tries to hide from others. When he's under conviction, he entertains feelings, emotions which he tries to hide from others because they're not in accord with accepted moral behavior. You feel your guilt. You feel that something's wrong. In other words, every sinner, before he repents and receives the Holy Spirit, he thinks, feelings and willing from God, is beside himself. Festus cried out with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. An impenitent sinner always cries out that the believer is off-center. Now you let that soak in. An impenitent sinner always cries out that the believer is off-center, but he is projecting his own attitude upon him. The root of paranoia is a guilt complex. Guilt is that fear and anxiety about the loss of the object upon which the individual depends for its happiness, well-being, and protection, God. And the misery that attends this anxiety, that it is the individual's own fault. In other words, sin has caused an estrangement between the sinner and God, and he can no longer bask in the full assurance of the love and tender care of the offender, majesty, on whom he is totally dependent for life and for all the supplies of God's love and bounty. God's love and mercy are the comforting result of his being that enters into man's very existence and gives him life. When man estranges himself from God and his love by choosing the principle of self-will, self-pleasing, then the isolation from God's self-giving leaves him uneasy, fearful, miserable. God continues to love and to rain his mercy on the just and unjust alike, which increases the guilt and the tension all the more as it culminates in the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross. The sinner alienated from the life of God, from the holiness and mercy of God as a principle of his own life, fights back at God and at the creature made in the image of God. Self-love of the ego-centered life chooses to spend all upon lust, pleasure, upon the flesh rather than upon God, which adds guilt upon guilt to that conscience. Repentance simply acknowledges to God what the Holy Spirit reveals about the alienation from God and the cause of it, which is sin, and submits to be made a new creature in Christ, with the life of God becoming his existence. The righteousness and love and mercy of God in Christ is bestowed upon him through faith, which is the avenue of the soul. And then that righteousness is revealed in the love of God, the compassion of Christ, the tenderness, meekness, consolation, and pleading of the Holy Spirit to others. Repentance does not make you a new creature. Repentance is submitting to the truth of God. Faith is the channel of the soul through which grace and mercy flows into the soul from God, and then out of the soul to God and to all of God's creatures. That same love, that same mercy that flows into your heart will flow out of your heart unto others and back to God. Now, that you cannot deny that. And you deny that shows you don't know anything about salvation. The age of paranoia is an age of impenitence, an age when the awful suffering and misery of guilt unconfessed to God alone spreads throughout the whole personality of man to warp and twist his thinking, produce emotional breakdown, and set the will in determined impatience and impenitence. This is the result of the wrath of God, which is God's anger, a strong feeling of loathing to anything vile, shameful, despicable, from which man is responsible. Love cannot exist without wrath. They are the positive and negative side of the same emotion. What you love intensely, you despise with the same intensity. When the object of that love becomes perverted and corrupt, I may like a good beefsteak, but I loathe a good steak that has become fairly rotten. I couldn't even hold my nose to eat it. This is an age of paranoia, an age of impenitence, an age when men refuse to acknowledge their estrangement from God. It's an age when man stands up and fights God and will not acknowledge their estrangement from God and his grace, but it is an age of religion. Because Romans 1:18 says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Literally, who hold the truth with a firm grasp and have the truth in a secure possession. Or we might say, who seize upon and retain the truth in unrighteousness. Our Lord tells us that many, the vast majority, shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils and had many converts. In thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Lost preachers arguing with the Lord. There has never been a time of more so-called Christian religion and new religious cults springing up all the time, or more preachers in the pulpit and members on the church rows. But God's word says that the wrath of God is revealed against all irreverence or the lack of that deep feeling our heart affection mingled with awe and reverential fear toward God, and against all unmerciful, unpitiful, cruel spirit of acting and preaching the cold letter of the law, which only ministers condemnation and death. Those who hold the truth are proud that they have the truth, that they fight for that truth and contend for the faith, but the spirit in which they hold it is one of arrogance and harshness. Now notice verse 24. Wherefore? That is because they pride themselves on having and knowing the truth and holding on to what they profess to have, thus exchanging the truth for a vain imaginary wisdom. Wherefore God gave them up, surrendered them, quit striving with them to uncleanness. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up, surrendered them to vile affections. And third, verse 28, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That mind reprobate is another way of describing a paranoid mind, an impenitent mind. What is true of the individual who rejects Christ is true of the society, the nation, and ultimately the world. When it rejects Christ, it exercises a reprobate or a paranoid mind. In our last message, we showed you the corrupt religious system of Mr. Babylon, which was derived from the way of Cain. At this time, I call your attention again to the fact that the first four seals, trumpets, and bowls of wrath are set apart as distinct in character from the last three. We saw the nature of sin and the cause of the aggravated sin. In our illustration of Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, we saw the nature of reprobation, our religious apostasy from the widespread infection of Cain's abominations, organized into a system by Nimrod after the flood, and God's hatred of these abominations, idolatries, and uncleanness. Let's notice the bowls of wrath poured out upon the earth in Revelation 16. And remember that God's wrath is that loathing of sin in the sinner that creates the uneasiness and fear of guilt, unconfessed guilt, unpardoned guilt. The first brought a foul and painful sore upon men. The second caused the sea to become like blood of a dead man. The third caused the fresh water fountains to become blood. And the fourth was the power of the sun to scorch men with heat, with fire. We see out of the heart of man proceeding all kinds of abominations. As Isaiah 1:16 says, from the sole of the foot, even on the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, which is a running sore. He is a stench in his own nostrils and miserable, but won't admit it, won't go to the great physician. Then blood, blood, blood is the cry of the hostile human mind. It is his delight, his drink, and he enjoys his sadistic indulgence of cruel thoughts and desires. His soul is set on fire with the lust for vengeance, and he wants to take justice as he thinks in his own hands and wreak vengeance upon everyone that crosses his path. While all the violence and bloodshed today, James says it grows out of lust and covetousness. Now let's look at the paranoid mind. Paranoia is a type of personality reaction characterized by projection of guilt. The skeletons of unconfessed sin are compensation for inadequacy, building up and protecting one's pride, or by delusions of persecution or grandeur or litigation. It is not accompanied by deterioration of effect, carnation, or associate processes. The disorder arises, get it, from a need to protect particularly vulnerable aspects of the personality. Pride, pride. These aspects of vague fears, craving for unattainable recognition, mental conflicts containing guilt feelings. This is the running sore. Note the symptoms: irritable, stubborn, suspicious, sullen, resentful of discipline, moody, peevish, given to daydreaming, sulking, marked self-confidence, but sensitiveness and self-consciousness indicate that it is an assumed characteristic. Uneasiness, analyzing sensations, broods over dissatisfactions. Following this is dreamy aspirations, which, if he does not succeed, produces a delusional explanation for his failures. In the jealousy and enmity of others, he misinterprets experiences, those things which are referring to him, and finds a hidden meaning in what is going on around. He imagines he's slighted and insulted, and attaches undue significance to trivial details in the behavior of others. In fact, he is preoccupied with the other fellow's faults, sins, gets easily worked up into an imaginary righteous indignation. Vague fears increase suspicion and the imagined persecution is based on the needs he creates them to fulfill, and by the background of the individual's mental world or level of thinking. My friends, that's the description of a paranoia or an impenitent sinner. From the state of persecution, he passes into a personal transformation and plays the role his grandiose ideas have assigned him. Self-importance never exists apart from simultaneous ideas of persecution. There's always a delusional core of thinking, and the individual is unable to criticize the false logic he develops to support this core of reasoning. His emotions determine his logic, and his imagination recalls past, indicate adding new details or new interpretations to his deluded mind to support his vindictive spirit. His inner sense of insecurity makes him confident that he is right, and he clings stubbornly to his opinions, and nothing can change him. Now we could go on describing the paranoia, the impenitent sinner, as God gives it in his word. God help us this morning. Am I speaking to you?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was The Age of Paranoia by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton, Sr. And just the title should have whetted your appetite to hear. I hope you listen and write me and let me know. And also, I mentioned oftentimes, all of these messages heard on this ministry are available in booklet form, free and postpaid. If you like to give out good soundtracks, this is the place to get them. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. And I have folks write me and say, Pastor, send me 100, send me 200. I take them to the books, to the jailhouse. I take them to the nursing home. If you'd like to do that, write me and tell me. And I'll send them to you free and postpaid. And or you send you a title list. You can choose and pick whichever ones you'd like. And I have people all over America, one here and one there, ladies and men, giving them out when they have a chance in the doctor's office. Leave one there on the counter. Leave one on the coffee table. But, my friend, the message you heard today was The Age of Paranoia. This is by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And the pastor was here for 50, 60 years. And we have a whole list of his titles available. If you write me, I'll send them to you. And remember, we're here each week at the same time. Our mailing address is Pastor Pendarvis, or just the radio missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. I love to get your phone calls. I'm always here early in the morning our time, and I answer the phone most of the time. Goodbye, and God bless you.